Welcome to Union Congregational Church, a church in the United Church of Christ, where no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here, and we are glad that you are with us today, whether in these pews or online, whether today or throughout the week. A few announcements that I have this morning. I want to extend a special welcome to a special guest that we have here today. We're delighted to have Steve Miller with us. I wouldn't normally do this, but I want to congratulate him because Steve Miller just retired from being from his pastorate at the Waupun United Methodist Church, and he has entered into retirement. And so just really glad that you are with us today, Steve, and God's blessings on your next step in the journey. And a few other announcements that I have. I will be on vacation this coming week. John O'Donovan will be taking care of things and filling the pulpit next week. So you are in loving and capable hands. A reminder about my new scheduling software to set up a meeting time with me. If you send me if you get an email from me on my email signature, you'll find the link, and also you'll find the link in the newsletter. I'm trying to manage my time a little bit better. So if you want to set up a time to meet with me about anything, go ahead and if you're able to set up a time with that link, that the link will integrate automatically with both my personal and my work calendars. So if you see a time available for you to meet, it's available. I don't have anything on my calendar, and hopefully we don't have to go through the runaround of emails and text messages, and you'll just be able to schedule a time with me in a matter of like 2 minutes or less. And if you're not a huge fan of technology, don't worry, because Alana and Becky both know how to do it, and they will be able to schedule you on your behalf. A couple other things going on this week while I'm gone. The Community Pie Social at the Christian Home is happening next Saturday, the 19th. I don't know time. John? One to four, but don't quote him.
Okay. I think it's one to three, according to the flyer.
One to three. Oh, someone's back there.
I have copies available on the rack if anybody wants to take one along.
Cool.
That's why you have a great administrative assistant.
It's true. And the Youth for Christ blueberry and peach sales also happen this week on the 15th and 16th. You can find more information about that, I think that was in last week's newsletter. I don't know if it was in this week's newsletter or not.
Yeah, I think it was in both, yeah.
Oh, good.
Yep. And there's also, on the bullet boards and stuff in the back.
Sounds good. Thank you. Any other announcements?
Since Derek isn't here, I'll make the announcement about the Brat Fry. It's August 8th and 9th. There's sign-up sheets. He needs people help to serve during it and help clean up after. If you're going to help serve, he told me he wants people there at least 30 minutes prior. Friday it's 9:30 to 5, and then Saturday it's 9:30 to 2.
Wonderful. The Rot Fry has been a really good event for us in the last several years, and hope for just the same or even better.
It's located across from the Brandon Meat store, Brandon Brat Stop.
Very good. Anything else today? Seeing none, let's share the peace of Christ with one another. Thank you.
If you're comfortable doing so, please stand for the call to worship. Jesus, our Savior, you have come to us. Jesus, our teacher, you impart to us wisdom different from what the world preaches. Jesus, our healer, you offer us yourself. Join me in the opening prayer. God of chaos and calm, as we come together this day, free our minds from distraction. Help us to let go of the errors and worries of the past week, and let us hold at bay the concerns and to-do lists of the week to come. May your Holy Spirit bring us fully into your presence, so that we may sit at your feet and listen. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our opening hymn is number 502, Be Thou My Vision.
Amen. You may be seated. Let's see. I'm not sure if I'm seeing any young worshipers with us today. We're all children of God, and I will just I'll just be like Mr. Rogers. It's all good. Well, so how many times when you were a kid, or maybe think about your own kids or your grandkids, how many times has somebody said to you, come on and stop playing, it's time for dinner, and you said, I don't wanna stop. I wanna play and do what I was doing, right? You know, that happens sometimes. Maybe your grandkids are like, but I just want 5 more minutes. Right? So part of what we're going to be talking about today is the realization that sometimes it's important to be present in the situations that are in front of us. We're going to be talking today about the story of Mary and Martha. Some of us are familiar with this story. Mary was sitting with Jesus, enjoying being with him, and Martha was kind of fussing away in the kitchen. And Jesus kind of has some words for Martha, as we'll discover. Without totally giving away the plot. That's kind of what's going on. So if we can remember throughout this week that that it's important to stay present with God, and that we that God loves us and wants us to share in our time together, that's kind of what we're going to be talking about today. So I'm going to say a short phrase, and I invite you to repeat it back to me. Dear God, thank you for teaching us how to be present. Help us share your love with everyone we meet and wherever we go. Amen.
Our Old Testament reading this morning is taken from Psalm 15. Who can live in your tent, Lord? Who can dwell on your holy mountain? The person who lives free of blame, does what is right, and speaks the truth sincerely. Who does no damage with their talk and does no harm to a friend, doesn't insult a neighbor, someone who despises those who act wickedly, but who honors those who honor the Lord. Someone who keeps their promise even when it hurts. Someone who doesn't lend money with interest. Who won't accept a bribe against any innocent person. Whoever does these things will never stumble. In our New Testament readings from Luke 10, verses 38 through 42, while Jesus and his disciples were traveling, Jesus entered a village where a woman named Martha welcomed him as a guest. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his message. By contrast, Martha was preoccupied with getting everything ready for their meal. So Martha came to him and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to prepare the table all by myself? Tell her to help me. The Lord answered, Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. One thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the better part. It won't be taken away from her. Here ends the readings for today. May God bless us as we learn from these holy words. Amen.
Thank you, Rick. Our media song for today comes from Cody Johnson. This is Till You Can't.
Tell your old man you'll do some largemouth fishing in another town. You just got too much on your plate to bait and cast a line. You can always put a rain check in his hand till you can't. You can keep putting off forever with that girl whose heart you hold, swearing that you'll last someday further down the road. You can always put a diamond on her hand till you can. If you got a chance, take it. Take it while you got a chance. If you got a dream, chase it, 'cause a dream won't chase you back. If you're gonna hold them as long and as strong and as close as you can till you can. There's a box of greasy parts sitting in the trunk of that 65, still waiting on you and your granddad to bring it back to life. You can always get around to fixing up that Pontiac till you can't. Talk away, 'cause you'll never know how bad you wanna till you can't someday. Don't wait on tomorrow, 'cause tomorrow may not show. Say your sorries, your I love yous, 'cause man, you never know. If you got a chance, take it. Take it while you got a chance. If you got a dream, chase it, 'cause a dream won't chase you back. If you're gonna love somebody, hold them as long and as strong and as close as you can, till you can. Yeah, if you got a chance, take it. Take it while you got a chance. If you got a dream, chase it, 'cause a dream won't chase you back. If you're gonna
thanks, Alana, for putting that one together for us. My friends, will you join me in prayer? God, be in our heads and in our thinking. Be in my voice and in my speaking. Be in our hearts and in our loving. Speak through me or in spite of me for the benefit of your holy word. Amen. So my college band director, Dr. Christopher Werner, arrived to Lakeland University about the same year I started. And he endeared himself to his students by his wit, his sarcasm, his love for a good cup of coffee, and yes, even his searing conversations with you when you needed an attitude adjustment. I wasn't ever in the band, but he taught several other courses that I took as a music major, and Lakeland had a small enough music department that everybody knew everybody. And one of his most important teachings was to always stay focused on improving and never stop practicing. He actually had a sign on his office door that had a numbered list photocopied from somewhere on the internet that kind of showed his philosophy on things. It said this: "I'm sorry I'm a mean band director. I'll try to be nicer. One and two are lies. Go practice." His energy was electric, and there was such hope for the future of the music department because of him. But then he got esophageal cancer. And after a few medical leaves of absence, it came back with a vengeance and turned out to be terminal. And while he was on his last medical leave before his death, Lakeland had a fundraiser for him to help with his mounting medical bills and celebrate his massive effect on our community. Now, I went to that fundraiser for a couple of hours, but I knew that I also had a huge music history paper due the next day that I hadn't started yet. And so I waited a long time in a long line of people waiting to talk to him. And all I could think about was finishing that paper. Now, I knew him pretty well at that point, and I considered him a friend. And, knowing that he was such a taskmaster, I figured he would probably be saying to me, "Oh, go and finish it, go and write it, it'll be okay." And I figured that I would probably have another chance. I would be able to talk to him another time about what he meant to me and how much I had learned from him. And so I left, thinking that I'd have another chance. And then 2 months later, when he died, I wished that I had spent that extra time at that fundraiser to talk to him personally. And if I knew then what I know now, I would have pulled an all-nighter. I would have done anything, right? Because that paper still would have gotten done. Whether I spent some extra time at the fundraiser or not, right? So I tell you this story not as a cautionary tale and not because I'm asking reassurance for the decision that I made, but I'm telling you this story because it taught me an important lesson about being present with others, being present with the person in front of you, that I want to talk about today in connection to the story of Mary and Martha. So, so there's an interesting and troubling trend of interpreting today's passage from Luke. The easy way to interpret this story would be to say that Jesus responds to Martha's outburst by saying that Martha has made a morally wrong decision. Martha, Martha, Mary has chosen the better part. You shouldn't be busying yourself right now. Quit whining about doing all the work yourself. And don't you know you have a pretty important guest here? Mary is doing the right thing, and you are doing the wrong thing. This kind of interpretation leads us to believe that Jesus is scolding Martha, or that Martha isn't willing to listen to Jesus' teachings. At least in my estimation, neither of those things appear to be the intended message, especially when we look at the cultural and historical contexts surrounding this moment. You know, the cultural expectations of women in biblical times revolved a great deal around hospitality, right? Martha was carrying out the expectation that society had of her to make sure that the guest in her home had something to eat and to make sure that the table in her home was prepared just so. By the standards of that society, she would hardly be a good host if there wasn't enough good food on the table. If any of us have ever had a family gathering that we've hosted in our home, we understand that preparing a good meal for our guests demands a great deal of effort and investment of time and money, and what's more, making a special meal for more people than you normally cook for can be tiring. I know that it's enough for me just to cook for one, right? And I can't imagine the extra effort it would take for me to cook for 10 or 20. So it makes perfect sense that Martha was a bit indignant that Mary wasn't helping her. Martha probably felt rushed, and she felt the social expectation of preparing this beautiful meal for somebody who she considered very important. And it was part of the way that she showed hospitality. And the study Bible that I just bought at annual meeting uses the same word of for hospitality and for ministry. It says that the same Greek word of hospitality and ministry are connected to one another. And so there, on the other hand, was Mary, her own sister, not lifting a finger while she toiled away doing all the work herself. As someone whose extended family has hosted a lot of family gatherings at my parents' house, I have compassion for Martha's frustration. And then to be told by her house guest that Mary, her sister, has chosen the better part, the more important thing, I'd be angry too. And there's an even more unfortunate interpretation which can't be ignored. This interpretation calls Martha away from active service to Jesus and instead praises the passive act of listening to him. Mary is doing the right thing by sitting at Jesus' feet and hanging on his every word, while Martha is doing whatever she thinks is the most important. And this kind of theological pitfall, this kind of theological interpretation, is often used to justify calling women away from serving in church leadership or ordained ministry and putting them in their place. The commentator Jennifer A. Glancy writes in this new Westminster Study Bible that Luke's gospel is an uneven resource when it comes to featuring positive female role models of ministry and a very uneven resource when it comes to feminism. And in some ways, this comparison can be brought to the fore in this story. Martha is doing the ministry of service, and Mary is doing the ministry of quiet discipleship. But I think many of us can already understand how complicated the role of women is in even in today's Christianity. And I feel that it's pretty troubling that more of my more conservative male pastor colleagues refuse to call out the fact that women are being told that their place is to either be in the kitchen or to sit down and be quiet. And so now that we've identified all the problems in today's text, how do we read it in a way that's liberating and helpful? What if Jesus isn't rebuking Martha, but instead he was being compassionate? You know, I don't know how Jesus was really feeling. I wasn't there. But let's just do this thought experiment for a moment. What if when he said one thing is necessary, what if he actually meant, you know, Martha, what you're doing is important and I appreciate it, but it can wait. I want to spend time with you. I want to be with you. I'm in your house because I wanted to see you. Because the entire life of Jesus is a ministry of service, I don't believe that Jesus actually thinks poorly of Martha's actions. But I also believe that he wanted her to be present with him. Instead of fussing around in the kitchen, Jesus wanted Martha to focus on him instead. The dishes could be done later. It would be okay to have a latte without latte art. Had to put that coffee reference in there, you know. But I also think it says something very particular about the way we live here and now. As a society, not only do we value productivity, but we're in this constant state of pressure to get things done, and sometimes we miss opportunities to experience the people around us. You know, I'll tell you this little anecdote, and they don't know that I'm calling them out, but I promise it's positive. We have good staff, and I'm blessed to work with them. You know, one of the things that I've noticed as I minister among you all, for example, that the three of us who I consider office staff, Becky and Alana and myself, we often have to tell each other to keep each other focused on the bigger picture, right? There's often something that one of us is really hyper-focused on getting exactly right. And the other two of us, or one of us, has to tell the other person, you know, it's gonna be okay if this doesn't get done. Or this can wait until next week, or you know, we don't have to worry about this right now, because the bigger picture of what we're doing is we're doing ministry and we're doing meaningful work for our community. And I wouldn't be saying this if Becky and Alana didn't do this just as often for me as I try to do for them. You know, I'm not calling them out or saying that they're not focusing on the right things that we're paying them to do, you know. That's not what I'm saying at all, because sometimes they put me in my place too. So you know, sometimes those pastors are humans. Don't always think about that. So in some ways, the story that I shared at the beginning of my message has a sad ending. I didn't have a chance to share well wishes with someone I considered a friend. But it's also given me perspective. Because of that experience, I've learned how important it is to be present with those around me. And that's paid dividends in my life and in my career. And I'm sure many of us have had experiences like this, maybe with our kids, our grandkids, our family members, our friends, or with other people around us. And our media song talks about different ways that happens as well. It gives pretty clear examples of that. And you know, it's not like the work we do is unimportant, right? There's always stuff that has to be done. All of the daily tasks in our lives are very important, and if they don't get done at some point, you know, things can happen. There can be negative consequences to that, right? But what I learned from Dr. Werner, and from when what I learned as I looked at this story again, is that there are times when the important tasks can wait, and when they can actually get done at a different time. This is the good news for today. We're often tasked with many important things, but Jesus gives us an invitation to take time to rest in his love and his teachings. We have the opportunity to be in community together and share our praise with God. We have the opportunity to set our worries and our fears aside and to rest in the love we have found through Jesus Christ. So, my friends, today, may you receive the gift of setting aside the scrambling through everyday activities. May you set something important aside in favor of being present with your Creator and with someone else in front of you. May you receive the gift of somebody telling you it can. You might be surprised by the gifts that your rest will give you. Amen. So now we enter a time of more intentional prayer, thinking of the people and situations that need our prayers and our love today. Let's take a few moments of silence as we think of those folks. Amen. So what prayers do we bring this morning? Steve's got one.
Can I have your prayer?
Just a moment.
I'd like to bring a prayer that in a world which seems more concerned about division and separation and dissimilarities, that we are all called to realize that we have been named as sons and daughters, as children of God. We all share this one globe, and we are called to care for each other and to do for each other what is best for everyone. Not to be hostile or belligerent or in the spirit of animosity. Yeah. To remember that we all share and we are all called to care for each other. So I call for unity and God to remind us that we are here for each other.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, Steve. Couldn't have said that better myself. God, in your mercy. What else today? Becky's got one.
Just prayers for the Texas victims of the flood.
Yes, indeed. Just a horrible, horrible event for all of those whose families are impacted by this terrible natural disaster and the entire community as it rebuilds. God, in your mercy. Anything else? I want to share one joy. My sister Emily, has been wanting a dog for so many years, she brought home a puppy on Friday, she's named it Poppy, and I've got pictures. So if you want to see cute 9-week-old puppy photos, see me after worship. Remember, she still lives with mom and dad right now as she's paying off some student debt. So it's a new experience for all three of them. Mom had a dog growing up, but hasn't since. I'm calling out my dad because he told us for so many years that he would not allow a dog in the house, and look what's happened. So it sounds like all things considered, Poppy is integrating well into my family's life. So for the joy and all that comes with it, God in your mercy. Anything on Zoom? Okay. Then let us be in a time of more intentional prayer together. God, in your grace and love, you call us away from our concerns and our worries and all of the stuff. And you remind us that we are made to be one with you and with one another. You give us the grace to remember that all of the stuff will get done, but that you crave relationship with us. And so today, we ask you to help us center our attention on what's most important, a relationship with you. We also ask you to be with all of those who are hurting, those in our congregation and in our community who are dealing with health challenges, those who are dealing with illness of mind or body or spirit, those who are facing food insecurity, poverty, discrimination, homelessness. Open our hearts to those in our community and wider who are dealing with problems that they cannot control, situations they didn't ask for, and help us be your hands and feet in the world. Empower us to be harbingers of love, bringers of peace, restorers of justice. We ask this in the name of your Son, who sat in homes, walked along the way, teaching your gospel of love and justice, and who taught us to pray, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." The time has come to offer our gifts back to God. Here at Union Congregational Church, we give thanks for all gifts that are given, whether through time, talent, treasure, or prayer. As the ushers come around, you may place your offering in the plate, or if you'd like, you can also give online at ucccwapan.net and clicking on the donate button. But however you give and whatever you do, may you give generously for the benefit of the ministry of this church and the church universal. Thank you. number 96, O For a Thousand Tongues to Sing. My friends, may you go with this benediction. May you go from this place remembering that God made us for community. May you go from this place remembering to set aside your worries, to set aside the difficulties in your lives, remembering that God wants to be in relationship with you and that God loves you so very much. May you remember that being in community and that being at rest with God is what we are made to be. And now may the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.